he's coming with passion. And he's coming saying, man, look, this is it. We've got to be ready to stay in the battle. We've got to be ready to fight the battle. And as Jude gives them these instructions, he says three things.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 1.
And Jude records these words, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." You are dismissed. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. As we look at these verses in Jude this morning, we want to focus on this topic, final instructions for the troops. Final instructions for the troops. Amen. You have notes prepared for you in the bulletin, and we are offering, as a matter of fact, now see, if you've been here the whole time, you should have the notes from way back when we first started. And these notes are prepared in such a way where you could take them if you're no longer a member of Bethany Baptist Church, or if you have the opportunity, because we don't want you to teach it here. Pastor Glaze just got finished teaching the book of Jude. But if you have the opportunity to teach the book of Jude somewhere else, or maybe you might want to make reference to it. So you've already got an outline. You've already got the information. You've got key Greek words interpreted. And all you got to do is read over it, bring up a couple illustrations, and you can teach it in an understandable outline form. And, you know, we're getting ready to make this package available in a booklet form over the radio to our radio audience. So we just want to let you know that as members who are here, you are on the ground floor. You have the very original first copy of what we're going to be giving out. And once again, the lesson this morning, you can take this lesson this morning, and you can teach this lesson. As a matter of fact, this is probably, and I'm not going to do it, and some of y'all probably say, yay, amen. But actually, this is three sermons that we could deal with this morning. But, you know, we'll get it in. We'll just be here till about 2 o'clock. That's about it. Amen. But final instructions for the troops is the message that we are dealing with today. And Jude has just been teaching in the first 19 verses about these false teachers. And going way back to our first lesson, we saw how that there were false teachers who had, according to Jude, look what he said in verse 3, I believe it is. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Why is that, Jude? Well, because there are certain men crept in unaware. You have your body has been infiltrated by false teachers, and you need to be on the lookout. You need to be aware of what's going on. And so Jude took the rest of those 19 verses and began to develop a point to identify them, a point to make comparison to the destructiveness of what they do. And now Jude is ready to finish. He's ready to bring this whole thing to a close. And he moves through three thoughts here in these final verses. And that is focusing the troops on what you need to do now. I had the opportunity to listen to a speech by George Patton, General Patton. And man, you know, I could never say the speech here from the pulpit because, you know, it was a little bit too rough. But it was his speech of trying to motivate the troops to go into battle. And I mean, it was amazing some of the analogies that he used, General Patton. It was amazing some of the motivation that he used in trying to motivate the troops to go into battle. And as we read through the book of Job, I don't know if Patton read some of Job, but Jude was taking some word pictures and trying to let us know what the enemy is like and telling us how we can fight against the enemy. Being a football coach, you know, there's been opportunities when you're down on the field, and I was a defensive coach. You're down on the field, and you're winning the game by about 4 or 5 points, and all you got to do is stop the other team with just a few seconds left on the clock. All you have to do is stop them, and you win the game. And man, we would begin to talk to the players, and we would talk to them with passion. And we would say, look, there's only 40 seconds left on the clock. All you got to do is go out there and hold them for 40 seconds. Make sure you keep your assignments. Make sure you tackle right. Make sure you give all your energy. Don't let down. Stay in it the whole way. And we realize that one mistake in those last minutes could cause us to lose the game. And as a coach, man, you came out there with passion. As a coach, you came out there with fire. As a coach, you got up into the players' faces. And sometimes you even spit in their face. Not intentionally, but because you were talking with so much passion. And I mean, I've seen coaches. Now, once again, we don't have that. I know in my day. See, we live in a different day. Man, in my day, there wasn't nothing for a coach to pop like that. Now, we don't do that today. We don't do that. I never did that to any of my players. But I've seen it happen a lot of times, man. A whole lot of times I've seen that happen. But, you know, we live in a different society and different philosophies today. And we don't want to go to jail, so we don't do that kind of stuff. So the closest you can come is just getting in their face and saying, look, man, you got to give it all. And it's just, man, everything that's in you, man, you trying to get these players to play. Just to go out there and stand up and hold on so we can win this game. And with that same passion that coach has in trying to motivate the players, in trying to encourage them, I just want to say that that's the same passion that Jude is coming with in these closing verses. We don't see it here as we read the verses, but as we look at, and I'll bring out some of the things in the Greek this morning, but as we look at the Greek language, man, Jude is coming with fire. He's coming with passion. And he's coming saying, man, look, this is it. We've got to be ready to stay in the battle. We've got to be ready to fight the battle. And as Jude gives them these instructions, he says three things. First of all, he says, fall back on your basic training. Secondly, he says, stay focused in the battle. And then the third thing, keep your eyes on the commander-in-chief. Final instructions for the battle. Look at verses 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And Jude, as he talks about falling back on basic training, says four things. He says, build on the faith of God, pray in the Spirit of God, stay in the love of God, and look for the return of God. Amen. Amen. Build on the faith of God, Jude says. Look at it. He says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, that God didn't save you to sit, soak, sour, and stink. God didn't save you to be a bench warmer. God didn't save you to be stagnant in your faith, but God saved you so that you would build upon the holy faith that you've been given. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 in verse 11. Hebrews 5 and verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The writer of Hebrews says here that at a time when you should be teaching someone else, you still have a desire to be taught. Now, I'm going to say this, that as a Christian, you should be in one of two categories. You should either be teaching a class or you should be in a study somewhere. You should be able, see, if I ever get to the point where I think that, well, you know what, I've arrived. I don't need to study the word anymore. I don't need to build upon this faith. Then you better watch out, because you're walking on slippery ground. And pretty soon you're going to find yourself falling. You're going to find yourself slipping. Because this Christian life, and this is what Jude is saying. See, it's very easy when these apostates had come into the church. It was very easy for people just to be lulled to sleep. And then once you start getting lulled to sleep, then you begin to believe it, the first thing you hear. You begin to accept everything that's being taught. Why is that? Because you're lazy. Because you're not studying anymore. Because you're not building on your holy faith. You need, when you got saved, God saved you not to maintain the aquarium. God didn't save you to sit in the port of neutrality. God called you to build upon this holy faith. God called you to grow. And Jude knew that if these folk were growing in their faith, he knew that they were building upon this most holy faith, that they wouldn't be deceived by the false teachers that were coming into church. And so Jude said, build yourself up. Build yourself up. Ask yourself the question, am I involved in serious Bible study right now? Am I involved in a class where I'm getting into the word for myself? I'm digging out the nuggets of word of truth for myself. I'm feeding my soul. Or am I sitting under a good, sound, solid teacher somewhere? Somebody who's teaching the word of God. Somebody who's given the word of God so that I can build upon my faith. See, Jude told him, fall back on the basics. And see, man, we want to run to this seminar for this, and we want to run for this. Well, you know, so-and-so was up at so-and-so this week, or, you know, so-and-so was down at so-and-so this week, or, you know, that this group is singing. And man, we want to run all over the city looking for this spiritual instant feeding. And Jude says right here, plain and simple, you need to be building yourself up. You need to be eating meat, as the writer of Hebrews said, at a time when you should be a teacher. You haven't grown. You haven't progressed. You haven't moved on, because you have allowed other things to crowd out the word of God in your life. Jude, man, with all the passion that's in him, says build on the faith of God. The second thing that Jude tells them, not only to build on the faith of God, but look what he says. He says, pray in the spirit of God. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Many Christians are praying today, and their prayers are going up to the ceiling and bouncing off and coming back. You're praying, and you find yourself getting down on your knees, and next thing you know, you're thinking about what you got to do on your job. You're thinking about what you're going to eat when you stop at McDonald's. You're thinking about, what am I going to do when I come home tonight? And your prayers are ineffective. But he says here that if you will pray in the Spirit, How do you pray in the Spirit? You pray in the Spirit by allowing the Spirit of God to fill your life. You pray in the Spirit by allowing the Spirit of God to move in your life. If you're walking around and you got sin in your life and you're involved in all kind of wickedness and foolishness, then you can't pray in the Spirit because you have muffled the Spirit. If you're not in the Word of God, if you're not fellowshipping with the saints, if you haven't put yourself under the authority of God's Word and to be in a place where you can hear God's Word, where you can be challenged, where you can be built up in your faith, then your spirit is not going to be fed. And your spirit is not going to be dominant in your life. Oh, you've heard me give the illustration before about the guy who was walking down the street and he was an alcoholic and he walked in front of this bar and the aroma from the bar came out and man, he was struggling. He was struggling and somebody saw him and they said, look, there he goes. There he go. Back on the bottle again. And they saw him the next day. And they said, man, I saw you yesterday, and I know that you're back on it again. I know that you're back on it again. He said, what do you mean? He said, I saw you walking in front of that bar, and I know you went in there. He said, when I walked in front of the bar, he said, I was tempted, and there was a desire to go back in there. He said, but I saw a drugstore across the street, and on the drugstore, it said all the buttermilk you can drink for 25 cents. And I went over there and drank 3 glasses of buttermilk, and I didn't have any room for liquor. And that's what we need to realize as the people of God, that if we will fill ourselves on the things of God, that we will not have room for the world. We will not have room to allow the things of the world to crowd out what God has in store for us. And we fall on our face and we fall on our knees, that we'll be able to pray in the Spirit of God. Because you see, it's the Spirit of God who prays to God the Father, and the Son makes intercession. And as we pray, we can be assured that we are getting through to heaven if we are in the Spirit, if we are praying in the Spirit. And Jude said, pray in the Spirit. Pray with a heart filled with the Holy Spirit. The third thing, stay in the love of God. He says here, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What does that mean? That means as you go throughout your day, you ought to say, God loves me. Man, God loves me. That I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. It was love that lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, it was love that lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, it was God's love that lifted me. Because Jude realized that if you stay in the love of God, if you keep yourself in the center of God's love, that you want to love him, that you want to build upon your faith, that you want to pray in the Spirit, and that these false teachers will not affect you. Stay in the love of God. Man, just think that, wow, God loves me. That here is this creator of the whole universe. Here is this individual who, as they say, sits high and looks low, who knows what's going on in China, in Africa, in Canada, in Hawaii, all at one time. This God loves me, and I'm going to keep myself in the center of this love. Basic instructions, basic instructions. Just fall back on basic training. See, sometimes we get too sophisticated and we want to get into these deeper levels and I'm saying we need to grow and all that, but man, sometimes we just got to come back to the basics. Just get on back to the basics. Just remind yourself of the basics. And then he says here, look for the return of God. Look for the return of God. Verse 21, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know, people that are walking with God are looking for him. If you're not walking with God, then you're not looking for him. I was talking to a young lady one time, And we were talking about the return of Christ. And she said, well, I really don't want God to come back right now. I said, why? She said, because I want to get married before he comes back. And I was thinking, well, you know what? When he comes back, you know, marriage is going to be second rate to you. There's nothing that can compare to the Lord when he comes back. And that we should be looking forward to the Lord. As somebody said, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. I'm not looking for the one that's taking me under. I'm looking for the one that's taking me over. And Jesus Christ is the one who's going to take me over. But Jude says, expect Christ's return, knowing that when he returns on that day, you're going to receive a reward and not judgment. Folk that are under judgment, folk that are under condemnation, don't want the Lord to come. Why? Because when he comes, they're going to be judged. But we as Christians, well, you know what our prayer is? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Man, I look at this world today, and you know what? Excuse me when I say this. But it's hell raising young folk today. I'm just going to be honest with you. Man, they just got so many issues. And I'm not saying, you know, particularly against them. I'm just saying in this society. Man, you know, it's just too much out there. And really, unless you got some kind of focus, unless you got some kind of spiritual oomph inside you, you're going to struggle. Because, it's you know, the world is just pulling all downhill. There's nothing positive about the world. Nothing positive at all. I mean, now when I say the world, I mean the world system. There's nothing positive about that. And it's designed to destroy all that God represents and all that God stands for. And we as Christians, you know, we need to make sure that we are walking right and that we're doing the right things so that we can be looking forward to the return of God. One songwriter said, one day Jesus will call my name. He said that on the day when he calls my name, I want to be so close to him, there's no big change on the day when Jesus calls my name. You know what that means? That one day, we're going to be transformed into his likeness and image, according to 1 John. Now, for some of us, you know, have anybody seen this this new TV show on Wednesday nights, Extreme Makeover? See, for some saints, when Jesus comes back, it's going to be an extreme makeover. When the Lord comes back, it's going to be an extreme makeover. I mean, you have to go somewhere for 6 weeks, man, and have the experts work on you. But, you know, I may have to preach a message on that one day. Extreme makeover or touch-up? Which one? we're going to be transformed into his likeness. And for some believers who have not been walking according to his precepts and according to his principles, it's going to be a drastic change. But God's child should so much desire that the Lord would return and live the life that reflects the character of Christ, that on the day when he appears, that there's no big change. We just keep on about our business because we're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Final instructions for the troops. First, fall back on basic training. Second, stay focused in the battle. Stay focused in the battle. Stay focused on those who have great doubt. Stay focused on those who are in great danger. And stay focused on those who are in great depravity. Look what he says here, verse 22. And some have compassion, making a difference. Now, the King James, that's the reading in the King James, but the NIV reads this way. And some have compassion whose faith is wavering.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Final Instructions for the Troops, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Final Instruction for the Troops, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.